Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hal Turner Show. Live from metropolitan New York City in the United States of America. Coming to you on global high-frequency radio stations, WBCQ and WRMI. Together, those two stations carry this show to more than 70 countries around the world. Inside the United States, I'm on KYAH, 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. The show also streams from my internet website, HalTurnerRadioShow.com. We talk about news and issues of the day on this show. More often than not, news the mass media just doesn't report. If you'd like to call this show to express your opinion about news or issues that are on your mind, telephone number you can dial, country code 1-201-771-3013. Well, it's Thursday, the 20th of January, 2022, and tomorrow morning is the big meeting. The big meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. That meeting will be held in Geneva, Switzerland at 11 a.m. Geneva local time. Now, Geneva is 6 hours ahead of New York City time. So the meeting in Geneva is scheduled to begin when it is about 5 a.m. here in New York City. The meeting is scheduled to last 2 hours. So if the meeting goes off as planned, and if the meeting lasts the 2 hours, by the time most folks are up and getting ready for work or heading out for work here on the East Coast tomorrow morning, we will all know the outcome of that meeting. This afternoon, Secretary of State Blinken was in Berlin, Germany, and he made some remarks that were broadcast by the State Department, and I watched. Prior to today, I had never really paid much attention at all to Secretary Blinken, and while I have certainly seen him on, you know, news clips and seen images of him, I've never really listened to the man speak. So I thought, well, given the seriousness of the situation, even though I have no faith at all in the illegitimate Joe Biden regime, maybe I should listen to this for posterity. So I listened. And I listened for about 5 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. And I thought to myself, the world is doomed. Because listening to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking in Berlin revealed the awful truth. There's not going to be any agreement tomorrow. And the reason there's not going to be any agreement tomorrow is that the two parties walking into this important meeting cannot possibly agree on the most basic truth. If you listen to Antony Blinken's remarks in Berlin today, everything that's going on with Ukraine and Russia's troops on the Russian border and the fears of an invasion and the root causes, if you listen to Secretary Blinken, it's all Russia's fault. If you listen to Antony Blinken, everything that is wrong over there, Russia is to blame. And that is completely, factually false. And as I sat and I watched Secretary Blinken speaking in Berlin, I realized there cannot be any agreement tomorrow because one side, Russia, is dealing with reality and facts. The other side, the United States and NATO, are dealing in fantasy and lies. There's no common ground there. And I'm not certain that for the U.S. / NATO side, goodwill even exists. Because it seems to me that if there were goodwill on the part of my country, then my country would be dealing with factual truths. My country is not dealing in factual truths. They're living in some sort of fantasy and basing their position on that fantasy, and all of it is lies. So let's just give a very brief recap of how we got to where we are. 2012, 2013, the European Union and the United States began wooing Ukraine. They wanted Ukraine to shift toward the European and American sphere of influence. But there was evil intent on the part of the European Union and the United States right from get-go. Because the United States and Europe could care less about Ukraine or the people of Ukraine. Hell, we've got several hundred years of history that bear that out. The U.S. and Europe could care less about the people of Ukraine. The intention of the European Union and the United States was to woo Ukraine into our sphere of influence for the express and sole purpose of putting U.S. missile defenses on Ukrainian territory. That was the goal from get-go. So how the Europeans and the Americans went about it, they authorized the expenditure of funds in foreign aid to Ukraine. But they weren't going to give the money to the Ukrainian government. No, no, no. They were going to let non-governmental organizations provide the aid. And this would be done by those non-governmental organizations, NGOs, on the ground inside Ukraine. And when Ukraine was told, listen, we want to send some organizations over there. They're not part of the government, but they're people we trust, and we're going to give them X million or X billion dollars, whatever it is, to distribute in your country. It's going to improve the living situation of your people. It's going to improve your economy. It's just going to be a big plus. The Ukrainians said, sure, that's great. You want to send people over here to distribute hundreds of millions of dollars? Hey, come on in, right? Because the Ukrainians are naive. So the NGOs went over there and they started distributing funds. There were programs for women and programs for teenagers and educational programs and on and on and on and on. And the money started to flow into the pockets of everyday average Ukrainians. And they liked it. Oh, yeah. Wow, man, we got money now. This is cool. Americans are good. Europeans are really good. This is great, man. And in 2013-ish, the Europeans and the Americans went to the president of Ukraine and they said, look, we care about your country. We care about your people. We've proven it. We've distributed all this money and we've helped improve your country. And we are the future for Ukraine. Ukraine belongs part of Europe. You belong in the sphere of influence of Europe. You belong in the sphere of influence of the West, Europe, the United States. We want you to become part of us. We want you to join with us. Because you're presently with Russia, and that has availed you nothing. And it would be better for Ukraine if you came with us, and it would be better for us if Ukraine came with us. Then President Viktor Yanukovych said he'd think about it, and he'd give them an answer. And they said, well, we really do need an answer by a date certain, because we have to decide whether or not we're going to continue spending this money. And obviously, if you're not going to come into our sphere of influence, it makes no sense for us to keep spending the money. So Yanukovych agreed to a date certain, and that date arrived. Yanukovych had talked to his other government ministers, government agencies, businessmen, and such throughout Ukraine, and Yanukovych told the EU and America, thanks, but no thanks. Our history here in Ukraine is with Russia. Russia is a friend and a neighbor, and our future is with Russia. Well, that was not the answer the Europeans and the Americans wanted to hear, and they weren't going to take it. So, having had access to the Ukrainian population and knowing how to reach out to all those people and having put hundreds and maybe thousands of dollars in many of their pockets, the EU and the ES, the EU and the US started fomenting civil unrest. They're telling Ukrainians, look, we've been giving you all this money and your president just screwed us. He's not going to come with us. We need you to get out there and protest, because if you don't get out there and protest, we got to cut the money off. And the Ukrainians were like, oh, no, man, I need this money. And so they went out and protested. And the protests erupted, and they were nasty. And then they devolved into riots. And then as the weeks went on, they devolved into violent attacks upon government buildings, buildings set on fire. Then there were snipers shooting police and police shooting protesters. The thing really, really got really ugly. It got so ugly that President Viktor Yanukovych had to flee Ukraine. He had to leave the country. And his government collapsed. And who was right there to help? The EU and the U.S. Backed candidates for a new government. And, of course, they were all candidates who were pro-Europe, pro-America, maybe a lot of them that were actually anti-Russia. And so a puppet government was installed, a puppet government favorable to the Europeans and to the Americans. When Crimea, on the south end of Ukraine, saw what was going on, and when the Russians saw what was going on, the Russians said, our only warm water port is in Crimea. We need to not lose that. Now that they've got this puppet government in Ukraine, we got to make sure we don't lose our only warm water naval port. All our other ports freeze in the wintertime. So the Russians began upping their troop levels at their naval base in Crimea, and they went out talking to the folks in Crimea saying, look what happened up in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. Look what happened. They rioted, they overthrew the democratically elected president, and they installed a puppet government. And the people of Crimea didn't want anything to do with that, and they voted in a referendum to return Crimea to Russia. Now, Crimea had only been part of Ukraine for 50 years. Crimea became part of Ukraine when former Soviet General Secretary Khrushchev, in a drunken stupor, gave Crimea to Ukraine. He gave it to them. One man gave it to them. And so, you know, for the prior 300 years, Crimea was known as the Russian Crimea. It was Russia. So the people in Crimea had a vote. They tallied up the vote. 95, 96% of the people who voted said, we want to go back to Russia. The Russian Duma, which is their legislature, enacted legislation absorbing Crimea back into Russia, and everything was good. Right? Wrong. The EU and the US said bullshit to this. That was a fraudulent vote. It was rigged. We are never going to honor that. Crimea must return to Ukraine, and we're going to put sanctions on Russia for what they've done. Well, two other states in eastern Ukraine, Luhansk and Donetsk, they saw Crimea leave, and they said, you know what? We want to go, too. And Ukraine sent their army.
Gun control, I'll be back. The best thing you can do for crooks and gangsters. I want you to have nothing. If I'm a bad guy, I'm always going to have a gun.
Sammy Gravano, convicted mob assassin.
Gun control's not about stopping crime, it's about disarming America.
The police hardly ever stop crime. They're called after a crime has been committed. Politicians know this. So why are they passing gun control laws that take away your self-defense firearms?
Gun control's not about stopping crime, it's about disarming America.
The president and other politicians are protected by men carrying rifles and pistols with high-capacity magazines, but they're outlawing them for you and me. Do they think their lives are more important than ours?
Gun control's not about stopping crime, it's about disarming America.
The militia includes all adult Americans, but the government is forbidding us from buying or owning militia rifles. Why is the government so eager to disarm the people they're supposed to serve?
Gun control's not about stopping crime, it's about disarming America. To keep hearing these ads, send checks to Citizens of America, 2118 Wilshire Boulevard, number 447, Santa Monica, California, 90403, or learn more at citizensofamerica.org.
PM, Hal Turner back with you. So Luhansk and Donetsk, two states in eastern Ukraine, said, we don't want to be part of this puppet government in Kiev. We want out. We want to go back to Russia, too. Hell, we all speak Russian here. Our history is with Russia. We want to go to Russia. And Ukraine said, oh, no, you don't. You're not going anywhere. And Ukraine sent their army to the border of Luhansk and Donetsk. It would be like the United States sending its army to the border of New York and New Jersey. And the army started attacking the people in Luhansk and Donetsk, dropping mortar shells on people's farmhouses, shooting people in the streets. And Luhansk and Donetsk called out their militia, and the militias of those two states went and did battle against the Ukrainian army. But they were outgunned, they were outmanned, and they weren't winning. They were losing. And so all of a sudden, little green men started appearing. Soldiers, professional soldiers, highly trained, healthy, strong soldiers, but with no flags and no patches on their uniforms. Well, they were Russian soldiers, and they were coming in to protect the Russian-speaking people in Luhansk and Donetsk. And then equipment started showing up for the militia in Luhansk and Donetsk to battle out against the Ukrainian army, and it worked. The militias fought the army to a standstill. And that went on for a couple of years. 14,000 people died in that fighting. And the fighting stopped all of a sudden in late 2016. Why did it stop? Well, the election happened in the United States. And instead of Hillary Clinton getting in, oh Lord, oh no, the Orange Man won the election, Donald Trump, whom I voted for, by the way, and whom I voted for again in 2020, incidentally, in the interest of full disclosure. And so the trouble stopped. And the trouble remained stopped through the 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Then November 2020 comes along, and the election shenanigans here in the United States saw the Democrat Party steal the presidency of the United States through rampant election fraud in key states, which changed the Electoral College vote and got Joe Biden the presidency. His presidency is based on election fraud and is illegitimate. But he occupies the office nonetheless, and like magic, all the trouble in eastern Ukraine started up all over again. Wham! Just like that. And so the Russians started moving troops toward the Russian border near Luhansk and Donetsk. And this was back in January, February, right? And the Western media started pointing this out. They said, uh-oh, the Russians are moving troops. By the time March rolled around, they had moved an awful lot of troops and an awful lot of equipment, and people in the West were getting a little edgy. And the West spoke up and said, you know, it looks like Russia's fixing to invade Ukraine. And Russia said, no, we're not going to invade Ukraine. We're just doing military exercises. But nobody in the West believed it. And then the Russians in late March started moving their troops back out. But they left all the equipment. They just moved the troops out. The rest of the year had been quiet. And all of a sudden, Ukraine comes out with a declaration that they are going to take Crimea back from Russia, and they are going to take Luhansk and Donetsk. It's a presidential decree in Ukraine. It's public record. It's out there. You can all go view it. And once that presidential decree was made, well, guess what started coming back in Russia? Yeah, the troops. And more, and more, and then more armor, more tanks, more planes. Things started getting real dicey. Why? Because the president of Ukraine issued a decree saying they were going to take Crimea by force. This isn't reported by the mass media, not anywhere. Then mortar attacks started again against civilians in Luhansk and Donetsk. Those mortars were being fired by the Ukrainian army. All the troubles that had been so quiet during the Trump years were back at it again now that Biden was in office. These are the facts, and they are not in dispute. The United States and the European Union fomented the overthrow of Viktor Yanukovych in 2014. The Ukrainians used their army against Luhansk and Donetsk. They were bombing civilians and were fought to a standstill by the militias in Luhansk and Donetsk. Yes, with help from the Russian army, thank God. And it wasn't until later that the Ukrainian president publicly decreed their intention to take Crimea by force and to take Luhansk and Donetsk that all this trouble started up again. Yet if you listen to the mass media in the United States, Canada, and Europe, you don't hear any of this. Not one shred of this backstory. All you hear is Russia bad. Russia massing troops. Russia's going to invade. Russia, Russia, Russia. And when I listen to Secretary Antony Blinken speaking in Berlin today, it was more of the same nonsense. Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, somebody's got to say it, and it's going to be me. Russia is right, and we are wrong on this issue. You know, hardly a day goes by now where somewhere in the mass media there isn't a story about how Russia has massed 100,000 troops on Ukraine's border. Let me ask you this, folks. How many of you have heard that Ukraine has massed 110,000 troops on the borders of Luhansk and Donetsk? There's a city in Ukraine called Kramatorsk. Kramatorsk. Is, let me just get this real quick. Kramatorsk, about 100 miles, not even, about 100 kilometers from the Russian border. So the Ukraine army troops that are massed along the border of Luhansk and Donetsk, they are within 100 kilometers of the Russian border. 110,000 Ukrainian troops within 100 kilometers of the Russian border. Why don't you ever hear Ukraine has massed 110,000 of its army troops within 100 kilometers of Russia's border? Those are the facts. But all you hear is Russia has massed 100,000 troops within 100 kilometers of Ukraine's border. What did Ukraine, what did Europe, what did the United States think Russia was going to do when Ukraine started massing 100,000 troops within 100 kilometers of the Russian border? And by the way, now that it is out and now that everybody knows, isn't it only reasonable from a national security standpoint for the government of Russia to put a similar number of troops on its border with Ukraine that Ukraine has put on Ukraine's border with Russia? Isn't that common sense? Now, there's a lot of folks out there that say, Putin wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. Bullshit. Vladimir Putin grew up under the horrors of communism. Vladimir Putin wants nothing at all to do with that filthy, degenerate ideology. The people of Russia and the Russian government have no intention at all of reverting back to that murderous garbage ideology. And that's what communism is. Communism is a garbage ideology that was developed by garbage human beings. It is an ideology that is professed by garbage apparatchiks. Anybody who's a communist by choice, anybody who supports communism, is a two-legged bag of human shit. The only good communist is a dead communist. And the reason that the only good communist is a dead communist has to do with the reality of that filthy ideology. Communism has killed more people in the last 100 years than the Nazis killed in World War II. Communism is more murderous than Nazis. If you look on the internet, go to Wikipedia, search death toll of communism. You will find that within the last 75, 80 years, over 100 million human beings have been out and out murdered by communism. Because communism derives its power from the barrel of a gun. And anybody that you know who favors communism is a piece of shit. Anybody that you know who supports Marxism, communism, they are personally human garbage. Their whole existence is based on a very simple thing. They want to take what other people have earned and get it for themselves without working for it. Communists are the laziest, most jealous, most covetous people on earth, and they should all be wiped out.
I can only imagine.
9:35 p.m. here in the East Coast of the United States. Hal Turner back with you. That's a dichotomy you just heard, huh? Round up the communists and get rid of them. And then the song, I can only imagine, talking about Jesus. And there was a method to my madness programming that in there. Jesus said, treat the poor well. The meek shall inherit the earth, we're taught. And the difference being that Jesus said, do these things of your own free will, not at the end of the government's gun. And that's what would determine whether or not you were a good person. Communism does their thing at the end of a gun. The United States of America was conceived as a nation in liberty. And I believe God intended us to be free. Communism would wipe that out. Communism actually goes so far as to deny the existence of God. Communism says the state is God. The state is not God. The Russians don't want anything to do with communism. They overthrew it. And all the commissars that were in the Soviet Union with their ideology that everybody's equal, the reality was that some people were more equal than others. Yeah, communism. Everyone's equal except some people are more equal than others. And it was the commissars that enforced the idea of communism. And when communism fell in the Soviet Union, 1991, Christmas Day, by the way, talk about God being involved in the fall of communism. When the Soviet Union fell, Christmas Day, 1991? I think it was. Them commissars, you know, that made sure everybody was equal, they were so hated. They were so reviled by the Russian people, they had to pack up and flee the country because they were getting killed. All the people they harmed, they were getting killed. And they ran. And where'd a lot of them run to? Yeah, the United States. And they settled down. And they raised their children as a fifth column. They raised whole generations of Bolsheviks right here in the United States. And them kids grew up, and what'd they do? They became teachers and college professors. And they got into our schools and our universities, and they started teaching what? America was bad. America was racist. America was white supremacist. We need to have fairness. We need to have equity. They were starting their communist bullshit over here. And now we got several generations of kids that have been polluted with this sick, degenerate, garbage ideology of communism. And now we don't deal in reality anymore, just like the communists. We deny truth, just like the communists. And we see it manifest in no less than Antony Blinken in his speech in Berlin today regarding the troubles in Ukraine between NATO and Russia, espousing fantasies based on lies. And it struck me There was a line in a movie that describes our present reality perfectly. The movie was The Sum of All Fears. And the villains in that movie detonated a nuclear bomb in Baltimore and then had it look like the Russians did it. And the villain, speaking to his, you know, cohorts, said, the key is not to fight Russia and fight the United States. The key is to get Russia and the United States to fight each other and to destroy each other. That's what the plan was. You know what, folks? It seems to me that's what the plan actually is now in real life. To get the two largest, predominantly white, predominantly Christian nations on earth to fight each other and destroy each other. Who was it that invented communism? Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky. And who is it that we have carrying out the lies of the administration? Anthony Blinken. You catching my drift? It's the same perpetrators. The very people whose ancestors invented this filthy ideology of communism are the people trying to pit the United States and Russia against each other to fight each other and destroy each other, because those people who invented communism and who preach it, they are inferior people who cannot achieve greatness on their own. So they have to sabotage and tear down the greatness that our peoples in Russia and the United States have created by exercising our God-given freedom and exercising our God-given talents. The reason they don't have God-given talents is they are not of God. They are of their father, the devil. And the lusts of their father they will do. He was a liar from the beginning, a liar and a murderer, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Look at who is manipulating this situation between the United States and Russia. It is the very same tribe who invented communism. The very same tribe that Jesus the Christ himself threw out of the temple. Same enemy. For 2,000 years, this same enemy has been at it, because they are of their father, the devil. Now, the Russians put forth treaty proposals, and they asked for written responses to those treaty proposals. Those responses are due tomorrow. Antony Blinken made clear yesterday he has no intention at all of providing written responses to Russia when he meets with Sergei Lavrov tomorrow. And so, folks, here's how I think it's going to go. I think the men will meet in Geneva tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. local time, which is 5 a.m. here on the East Coast of the United States. I think after the introductions and the pleasantries, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov will ask Secretary Blinken for the responses. He will get them, and I think Lavrov will walk out. I'm going to open the phones. The number to dial, 201-771-3013. The ancestors of the people that Jesus threw out of the temple are here to this very day, pulling their shady deals, using lies and manipulation to get God's people to fight each other and kill each other. You know, I said to you last night, I had spoken to a diplomat, and I'm here in the New York City area. There's diplomats all over here because the United Nations is here. And I was having a meal with this particular diplomat. And he said to me, liberty is not our enemy. And we will never go back to communism. We don't want the Soviet Union. And he said, Maidan in Ukraine. It's where their headquarters is in Kiev. They called it the Maidan Revolution back in 2014. He said, Maidan is not our enemy. Ukrainians are mostly Russians. He said, but our true enemy. Well, our enemy's not liberty and our enemy's not Maidan. Our true enemy is at Liberty and Maiden. And I just did not get that. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And I said, wait a minute. In Manhattan, there's an intersection. Liberty Street and Maiden Lane. Look it up on Google Maps. Liberty Street and Maiden Lane. And go down to the street view and look around. And you'll see one of the buildings on the corner is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And five stories beneath that building is a vault with a 90-ton vault door. And inside that vault, five floors below the streets of Manhattan, is 25% of the entire world's gold bullion. That's where it's stored. The money changers. 2,000 years ago, Jesus himself, threw over their tables, whipped them in the temple, and threw them out. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later, the same filth has now brought the world to the precipice of World War III, which could very well start tomorrow. We will know, we'll have a really good idea, by 7 a.m. New York City time tomorrow. All right, I'll go to the phone and try to get some callers in here. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Hal.
Hello.
This is Susan, formerly of Vancouver.
Hello, Susan.
I moved the hell out of Washington, and I'm happier than a clam. I only have one thing to say. I'm not going to get into the Russian thing or whatever, but I just have to make a comment. Why do you play Barbara Streisand over and over again? You know she's one of them.
Because she's
and
got.
I know she has a beautiful voice.
That's it. She's got a beautiful voice.
Letting her sing.
Oh, all right. Is that it? Is that what you called?
That is.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thanks for your call. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
JJ from New York.
What's up, JJ?
Okay, I got this from the Gateway Pundit about the NHS, the doctor that tells a patient not to take the vaccine because they will be pulled so. And he warns that the vax data is being hidden from the public. And the key sentence is the data on deaths in the U.S. confirms that there has been a massive spike in death. And that's the reason why Boris changed course on the lethal injection, because of a phone call that was leaked. Between the doctors and all.
Okay.
All right.
JJ,
so,
thanks for calling in, man. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Who are you calling from?
This is Dave from Georgia. You talking to me?
Yeah, Dave in Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great show. I guess I wanted to say we don't want to forget Soros and Rockefeller and Rothschild's a part of that same tribe that you're mentioning. And so they're, as we know, what they're up to. But my point is, what is these Christians are continually still believing that Christ was a Jew, but he never was. And so this is why they keep thinking that the people who crucified the living Christ is their people. It's like, you know, the people killed Christ, but that's the blessed people. Does that make any sense?
I have long ago stopped trying to figure that out.
It's amazing. A lot of people don't know that there's a fifth gospel that was discovered.
Well, you know, look, I'm not going to get into that. You know, what we have here, in a big way, is mass psychosis. About, I don't know, I would say 30% of the American population seem to me to be suffering from a severe psychosis. It's not that they're stupid. Many of them are highly educated. It's just that they are living in a fantasy land where thought and emotions are so impaired that they have lost contact with external reality. They live in a world in their head that has no contact with external reality. And so they proceed in their lives in a psychosis. It's crazy.
Makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. We got the big thing nowadays is transgender, right?
Right.
Okay. These trannies, the men who want to, you know, dress around as women while they have full beards, right? They will never be a real woman. They have no womb. They have no ovaries. They have no eggs. What these trannies are homosexual men twisted by drugs and maybe surgery into a crude mockery of nature's perfection. All the validation that they seek and that they're getting from the public, it's two-faced and half-hearted, because behind their back, people mock them. Their parents are disgusted and ashamed of them. Their friends laugh at their ghoulish appearance behind closed doors. Real men are utterly repulsed by these trannies. Thousands of years of evolution have allowed men to, you know, sniff out frauds with incredible efficiency. Even trannies who pass look uncanny and unnatural to a real man. Their bone structure is a dead giveaway. And even if they manage to get a drunk guy home, he'll turn tail and bolt the second he gets a whiff of their diseased, infected axe wound, right? And those trannies, they'll never be happy. They wrench out a fake smile every single morning and tell themselves they're going to be okay, but deep inside they feel the depression creeping up like a weed, ready to crush them under unbearable weight, and eventually it gets to be too much to bear. They buy a rope, tie a noose, put it around their neck, and plunge into the cold abyss. Their parents find them, heartbroken, but relieved that they no longer have to live with the unbearable shame and disappointment. And the rub for the tranny is that they'll be buried with a headstone marked with their birth name. And every passerby for the rest of eternity will know a man is buried there. Their body will decay and go back to the dust. And all that will remain of their legacy is a skeleton that is unmistakably male. That's their fate. That's what they choose. There's no turning back. These people are crazy. And the people who embrace them are just as crazy. Thanks for listening. I'm Hal Turner. Good night from New York.